Welcome to Brand and Peele, where we talk about brand storytelling in the digital age. I'm your host, Shannon Peele, and today I talk with Hunter Lott about how to hire top employees. If you are an employer who is looking for employees and struggling to find good employees, this episode is for you. Hunter has given us some really great tips, insights, and ideas about how your business can position itself as a destination for those top employees looking for a new position with a better pay. So listener, keep listening to find out how you can attract top talent to your business.
Hunter, thank you very much for coming and joining me today on Brand Appeal. And I've got one question for you. What do you want to be known for?
I would like to be known for helping bosses be better. And I love millennials and Gen Zs are really pushing the culture piece about the time we spend at work. And I believe that every employee at least once in their lifetime should have a great boss. I work with leaders and bosses and supervisors and managers at all levels, trying to make them a bit better so that they can be that best boss.
Yeah, we do have huge change happening right now with the great resignation. Where are these people going?
It was fun. I went back a few years and looked at a presentation, and there I was screaming at business owners, you better get more people. You're going to run out of people. You're going to run out of people. And we could see, we HR, we could see that just the demographics, the baby boomers aging out, the Gen Xers still taking care of elderly parents and kids. There are several million fewer of them just in numbers. And then here come millennials and Gen Zs. So we could see some of this was just a result of the demographics. Then COVID accelerated. And I think for a lot of people, it was a reset. They went home and found out how miserable they were at work and decided, okay, I'm going to go back to school. And I think we've seen some of that. I'm going to start my own business. We've seen a lot of that. I'm going to start looking for work elsewhere. And I've seen all kinds of, you know, articles on the great resignation. One just said, oh, it's just simple math. It's just no big deal. It's no different than how it's always been. And I'm like, nah, that's not what I'm hearing. So people said, okay, well, let's see what else is out there. And resignation is contagious. So if you're sitting next to someone that, you know, you've been around or even in Zoom and all of a sudden, you know, Hunter's not there, Shannon's not there, Samantha's not there, then you go, well, where'd they go? Oh, well, they quit. Well, maybe I should be looking too. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure there's any one thing about the great resignation, combination of all this. Plus, this has brought out kind of the best and the worst in us as leaders. Some leaders really step up. You know, we've talked for decades about communication, engagement, the Gallup survey tracking engagement for the last, 15, 20 years. It hasn't moved all that much. So as much as we talked about it, we haven't done a really good job. A lot of employees will still tell you they haven't been talked to like one-on-one in a year. Many haven't gotten their annual evaluations in 3 years. What happened with COVID and the remote was, whoa, wait a minute. There's no more line of sight. I can't see them. Oh, so what are they doing? So they're obviously home playing with the dogs and eating chocolate all day. And of course, that's not what happened. But the leaders panicked because they couldn't see them. And I've had multiple conversations. Why do you expect the worst? You mean when you work at home, you just kind of nap? You really don't do anything? Well, no, I work. I said, well, why do you expect less from your own employees? The numbers have shown that we've been real productive in this kind of environment. Collaboration and creativity, kind of the water cooler talk and relationships, that's been, you know, a struggle. But this has really pushed leaders to say, okay, I got to get my act together. Mm-hmm. And I love millennials and Gen Zs because we've seen the leaders, everybody will be back at work come, you know, September 1. And the employees went, maybe not. I had one friend, he opened up his office and out of 80 people on his floor, 3 people showed up. And it was like, okay, now what do I do? Well, you're going to have to talk to them. You're going to have to find out what's going on. And then you're going to have to make some leadership decisions. One of the funny parts is I get calls about policy. Okay, I want a policy. What do you mean you want a policy? I want a policy to make them come back to work. I've said, you've got one, 3 days, no call, no show, no job. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fire them. I just want to make them come back to work. So this whole process to me has just been fascinating, reinforcing, I think, for a lot of us in HR, what we've been screaming about for actually decades. Mm-hmm. And now this power shift, got 10 million job openings, 6 million unemployed. Most people aren't hiring even the unemployed. It's not like the help wanted sign that A players are walking the streets looking for jobs. This takes a marketing piece. And I keep asking employers, what is your HR brand? And that's been a dramatic shift over the last couple of years.
You're making a point there, because HR brand, it's that story about why would you want to work here? Why are we the best place to work at? And some of the bigger corporations do a really good job of that, but most people don't even think of that. They just think, okay, I've got a job. Somebody needs a job. They're going to want, I'm going to be able to find someone.
Yeah. I'm still amazed when I do get the help wanted sign question. You know, one guy said, well, I've had the help wanted sign in the window for a year and none of these millennials want to work. And I'm like, really? You haven't given up on that? Millennials are almost 40. Let it go. And I tell them, you expect A players wandering the streets looking for help wanted signs. And I get, you know, in my day, I said, well, it's not your day anymore. It's now. Well, they don't want to work. It's a 4% unemployment rate. I told one, I said, they want to work. They just don't want to work for you. Mm-hmm. And that's where the branding comes. Luckily, this person had a sense of humor. And so we were able to kind of work through it. But you're right. You asked the simple question, why would an A player leave, in most cases, leave their current job and come work for you? Give me one good reason why an A player should come work for you. And you're right. It's fascinating. These are CEOs and business owners. And they're like,
because
pay. I said, are you going to pay more than anyone else? Well, no. Culture. What kind of culture do you have? Good. Opportunity. You know, how many people are hiring dead end people for dead end jobs? Now with this power shift, this HR brand, am I a destination company for A players? And just like any sales meeting in an interview, can I get their attention in one or two concise, compelling sentences that will get them, as I say, the customer, the applicant in this case, what gets them to lean forward? And you can kind of see the light bulb go off when I start talking about marketing and HR brand, because they get that. We do that for our customers. We can differentiate ourselves in the marketplace with our product and service from our competition. We get that. I said, take that same philosophy and start a marketing campaign for your own HR brand.
Mm-hmm. I'm in Vancouver, Canada. Spent a couple of weeks with my brother. He mentioned, well, everyone is going back April 1st. So we haven't had a lot of this great resignation because our corporations, people are still working from home. So the big number for one of the big utilities in my province, or the only one, because we have very few, is April 1st. So it should be interesting to see what happens when the offices open it back up.
I was talking to a business in a group of businesses in Quebec City, and they said, you know, we've got, even with a lot back last year, with the lockdown, we got a 3% unemployment rate. So we're constantly scrambling for talent.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little bit of a scenario. When you look at Canada's economy and the makeup of businesses, 80% are small, medium-sized businesses. We have less than 2,000 what you would consider large corporations. We really don't have a corporate America the same way. Like, we just don't have a lot of those jobs. Or when they say our unemployment rate is around 3%, I want to push back on that, because unemployment really only counts those people that are on EI. EI runs out and people drop off and then they're not counted anymore. Then there are people like me who looked for work and looked for work and looked for work and couldn't find it. So we ended up starting our own companies and becoming consultants. I go to all these networking things. There are a ton of consultants, business coaches, all of these people scrambling to find work. Now, we are all unemployed.
Yeah.
We are all unemployed. We are all looking for work. We're just looking for work in a different way. And we're still struggling.
And that's why you've got to be careful. I think you're right about the numbers, whether Canada or in the U.S., because the same kind of things happen with unemployment. They ask the question, are you actively looking for work? And if someone answers no, then they're not even counted. And it's like, well, wait a minute then. And so the numbers are, I think you're right, relative at best. You know, I pay more attention to my small business owners and their scramble, trying to find good people, trying to find tradespeople at various levels in jobs. So all the, I think that unemployment number and a lot of the numbers in HR are relative and just for comparison over last year, because you're right. If you start to deep dive on those, you go, well, okay, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And the answer you get is, well, we've always done it this way.
Yeah, I get that. But it's like saying the cost of living isn't going up, but we don't include housing, gas,
or like exactly. Or yeah, food. Yeah, that stuff doesn't count. I said, oh, well, I'm not going to put gas in the car this month or eat. Yeah.
Or, you know, my rent hasn't gone up at all.
Yeah. Get employers say, well, I gave a 4% raise last year. Aren't I wonderful? And I said, well, yeah, but what's the inflation rate locally? And what does it cost to fill up the car, put food on the table, daycare? Well, right. You know, I don't figure that stuff in. That stuff doesn't count. I said, no, believe me, to an employee, it does count. And that's why when you go back to this why, that really forces the employer to take a close look at, okay, what is it about this place? The pay, the benefits, the flexibility. I know one employer figured out that they were having attendance issues and turnover issues. I thought he was great because he asked himself the why question. They found out that the biggest gap was daycare. That's what really was driving it. And he's a small business. And everybody told him, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't afford to do that. And he said, you know, I looked at can't as kind of a challenge. And I said, what if we could? And he said, I ran the numbers. And he said, I'm doing it. And for him, it was in the heart. He said, this is the right thing to do. And so he set it up. And then the turnover numbers went way down and the attendance went way up. And so the productivity went up because he had the right people. He didn't have to fill in, get temps. He didn't have to constantly be retraining new employees. Plus the fact, because no other employer had the daycare, there was pressure from home. Hey, get up, get to work. Got to keep this job. And so that's how he separated himself in the marketplace. And now he said, I got a waiting list for people to come work for me. And there's a great story about HR brand, because it didn't take long for the word to hit the street. So this is the creativity that I like, given the environment we're in, just employers asking, okay.
The hiring thing is a little broken in my opinion too, because especially in the bigger companies, because they use all those computer programs to screen these resumes and they're putting in the job description all these, oh, I want someone who does da 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 da, and yet the job is actually like, it would make somebody underemployed.
Yes, right? I know. To me, it's a trust factor. If you start the relationship with breaking trust, we're padding the job description. And so the applicant pads his or her resume. And we get in this battle. I said, this really doesn't do you any good. And it doesn't do them any good. Because now, again, I love millennials and Gen Zs. If it's a bad match, if you're not walking the talk and they catch on to that early, they just leave. They just walk. They said, look, I saw my parents be miserable in jobs for decades. Life's too short. I'm not going to do that. Or they'll stay and just be another miserable, mistrusting employee. And we got plenty of those.
Well, I think it depends on whether or not they are living at home or have kids. working, one of my last jobs, I was working there, was this kid, and he was 20 something, married, but his culture, they live with the parents because of the culture, and together they work. So he can leave, because guess what?
We're seeing more and more, and we saw this during COVID, you know, families moving in together and with friends and covering. And so this idea that I've got as an employer, some baseball bat, well, they gotta work here because they got no place to go. Well, not necessarily. And that's, I think, part of this power shift and where employers are going, oh, okay, you know, threatening employees, saying, you know, I got them. There was one executive just came out last weekend at Applebee's who was reported that he was happy about the inflation and all that's happening in gas prices, because then people will be so miserable and they won't be able to go anywhere and they'll have to work for us. And I thought, wow.
How does that make them have to work for you?
Oh, because they won't be able to afford gas. And so they're going to have to stick with either the job they have, or they're going to have to quit all these other low-paying jobs and come at our low-paying job. So his suggestion was, since there's going to be this mass influx of miserable people, to cut pay of employees now, because we won't have any problem down the line of getting people. I mean, it was this disconnect. Oh, they
Can
took
you
his
link. I think you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth because you just don't get it.
That's what I said. This guy doesn't get it. Now you know, it was a yeah. series of emails.
What gets me is how come guys like him are employed in these positions?
I wish I could tell you. You know, there's a great phrase of brilliant jerk, and it's like, okay,
I don't think he's brilliant.
It's going to be rare that a group of employees overcomes a toxic boss. I don't care how bright, quote unquote, they may be. And so that's why I say we've seen this atmosphere bring out kind of the best and the worst in bosses. And because everything's so transparent now, employers are taking a hard look at this. And back to the question, why should they come work for you? And creating that kind of special place. And then if you do have a special place, tell your story. I go on these websites, you know, click the careers page, and it's like a PDF to fill out. Like this is something new. Do you know what a PDF is? Wow. Well, I said you just took your 1960s application, scanned it in there to make people miserable. It's fun, Shannon. I ask in every group of CEOs and leaders, I say, how many of you have a video of an A player, an employee that works for you, that loves working for you? Mm-hmm. And that video tells their story. How many of you have that up on your website? And it's like one in 30. They don't. I said, well, then you're really not serious. You can complain about employees all you want, but you don't even, and it's not even money. Good grief. Just get your phone, take a picture, a video of an employee that loves to work for you and put it up on your website. Mm-hmm. Tell your story. And it's like this, big surprise.
They're also scared to ask employees to engage with their story. You know, the best thing that any company can do is have their employees share their social media posts, but they don't ask. And no. They just expect the employees to go and follow and share. And the employees don't do it because they're scared if they do it and the boss sees it, maybe they are supposed to, maybe they aren't supposed to. Yeah, they're not really sure what to do.
This is so different than how many managers grew up in business. They don't get it. They don't create the safe space like you're talking about. So nobody trusts each other. So the employees are not sure where to go. And the employer says, well, I never had to do this before, so it's no big deal. You know, I've got the 2013 holiday party up on the website. I said, really? Either you haven't had a holiday party since 2013, or you haven't even bothered to look at your own website. You have the same 2013 pricing on your website so that customers get quite a deal. Oh, no, we keep that updated, but not the employee side. And it's like, come on, this stuff isn't complicated. But it is hard work, and it is a shift to look at the interview as a sales meeting, and to look at your corporate culture. Is it a destination place for A players? They haven't had to do, but now they're getting push from employees saying, hey, I want to be part of something special. So if we've got something, let's tell everyone. If we haven't got a special place, let's fix it.
I had a hell of a time in the interview world, trying to get a job. And it was at a time that I was having a difficult time, single mom, no income, need to get work. You know, of course you're not gonna get work, but you're also, you know, you show up, you're there doing your best, and they constantly said stupid crap. And when you're in that world of, oh my God, I gotta get a job because I have two kids to feed and I have a roof over my head. And they're saying stuff like, well, you know, you can't show up here in pajamas, right?
Shannon,
sorry. After I tell them that little gap in my resume, I had to make it a gap because every time I owned a daycare, it was a bad thing. And then you ask me what it is, so then I'm honest and I say, well, I ran a daycare. I was responsible for 11 children, 8 families, 6 schools. Plus, I was the volunteer coordinator for the Tusker Soccer Association, so I was responsible for volunteer requirements for 800 families and planning 3 large events. And the lady looked at me and goes, you sound like a bored housewife.
Oh, you know, no.
I'm having a hard enough time without you, like, totally.
Yeah. And that's for people on that side, when you're on the interview side, you've got to kind of decide, yes, I've got bills I got to pay. At the same time, you know, how miserable am I going to be in this new job? And so there's that fine line. From the from the employer side, if I hear that story, I'm going, wow, this is somebody who can manage multitasking, has to be organized to pull all this off, is great at scheduling, is good with people. Boy, if you can manage a group of kids, you can manage any group of adults, because it's you're dealing with all the emotions and the drama and all the things that happen. You know, if I hear that story. Yeah. And I hear that story, I'm going, whoa, this is a skill set that's really hard to find.
Okay. But here's the difference. When you're out in the interview world, you're being interviewed by hiring managers. Most of the time, you're not even seeing the business owner. So I would go through 2-3 months of the interview manager. They were the ones totally taking these pot shots at me. Then if I got through all of that, for the ones that I would get that were okay, and I would go through a month or a month and a half of showing up, coming to interview after interview, submitting, here's an assignment. Go do this assignment for us. Do the assignment, come back, do another interview, sit down with the CEO, and he takes one look at me and goes, and you can tell the minute he walks in that he has no interest in talking to me.
You know, you look at that, and I've been telling employers and corporate HR people, hire fast. This old mantra of hire slow is gone. Because if you're doing that, you're going to lose good people. Just like you said, if I have to go jump through these hoops, you know, for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, you know, it's rare to find any kind of credible data that says the more convoluted the hiring process, the better the hire. And you're seeing companies learn the hard way, because then when they do finally make the offer and the candidate's like, I've been working at my new job for a month now. Where have you people been? You hear some CEOs, again, marketing, they're looking at, we've made the customer experience a positive one, easy to do business with us, a positive experience. We got to do the same thing for employees. Mm-hmm. Rather than make them miserable, fill out the application, wait 3 weeks for someone to get back. And then you go through all these different layers of whose people seems like their job is to get rid of people rather than select good people. That old mindset came from a time where we had unlimited numbers of people to pick from. And it's just not that case. So when employers say to me, I can't find good people, and I said, well, and I hear stories like yours and others, I said, how convoluted is your interview process? You are screening out many of the good people that are best matched for your place of work. I challenged one guy, I go through your own hiring process. Mm-hmm. And he did, and he got rejected. as not being qualified for the job. Mm-hmm. And he goes, wow. And he goes, it took them forever to get back to me. I was really frustrated. I said, yeah, and it's your company. Come on. And so whether you're small business where you have that kind of control or big companies, pain's a great motivator. And when employees are saying, nah, I'll go through a few hoops here. And based on your personal situation, more adaptable patient than other. But there comes a point where you say, no, I'm not doing this. If I'm going to be miserable through this process, wait till I go to work.
Well, one thing I found really interesting is because I was talking with one client, the leadership of the corporation asked for his son to apply for the job, right? So the son applied for the job, went through, months go by, and then he's talking to the dad's talking to his friend again, and says, the friend's like, well, why didn't he apply? He goes, he did apply, but he got to this point, and the girl said he wasn't there, so he was gone. The guy that owned the company went back, dad's son now was hired as a VP of a company. So the person below him was saying whether or not that person was going to be put into the VP position and had no idea what that position even entailed. Yep. Or who would be the right person for that position.
Well, you know, and that's another, you know, question that I ask and challenge, you know, hiring managers, business owners, anybody who's interviewing and trying to sell their brand, HR brand, is what does success look like in this job and how do you measure it? And there's another question they can't answer. Mm-hmm. People aren't, you know, the survey I read showed they're only working 2.5 hours a day at home. I said, okay, and I didn't even argue. I just said, okay, how much are they working when you watch them? What do you mean? Well, Shannon comes in at 8 o'clock. She leaves at 5 o'clock. How much work is she getting done? Well, she's there. I said, well, yeah, but you would agree busy doesn't equate to productive. And they look at me like, so just the fact that they were there, that's all it takes. What does success look like in this job and how do you measure it? And for the people on the other side that are interviewing, I tell them, you ask that question. What does success look like in this job and how do you measure it? And if they can't answer it, it's probably not the place to go work.
But I really think that the whole idea of this bed check, because I used to be in outside sales. Yeah. And we would have a meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning and it was basically a bed check.
Yeah. You know, the one guy told the story that he has to log on Zoom in the morning and his boss watches him work all day long. And I'm like, whoa.
Why hire him?
He said to me, I'm looking for work. I said, I don't blame you. That's babysitting. Like you said, bed check, babysitting. And for a manager that leads that way, that's why the remote is so frustrating because it's so much harder to be that way in a remote environment. Mm-hmm. But that's not healthy, whether you're talking remote or on site in person. And that's where the good leaders, you know, coming from kind of a servant approach, or I know what you're working on. How can I help? Removing barriers. Those are the kinds of leaders that are attracting and keeping talent now. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of people that champion your brand and said, hey, come work for us. We're a great place to work.
And you don't have to pay them to go and say that.
No, you don't.
You don't have to incentivize them with the whole, we'll pay you $50 if we hire a friend of yours.
Yeah, I know. And when you say this stuff out loud and I hear these stories all the time, and you kind of go, wow. And then I repeat, and people said, oh, you're making this up. And then somebody says something equally as crazy. Like I said, this has brought out kind of the best and worst in people.
I mean, there are companies that I've worked for that were created for the sole purpose of being sold, you know, and I could tell because it was like a churn and burn of clients, churn and burn of employees. It was just, we need to get those numbers up as fast as we possibly can.
Yep.
And other places are, they're growing these companies for long term. And these are the ones that'll go and buy those companies that are being built, churn and burn. They do have, you know, what is their culture? That they're concerned about stuff like that. They've got all of these programs in place. And so it is important to them that they do get the right people because they don't want to have to do it over and over again. And sometimes the wrong person will make the whole thing a really toxic environment. Talking to someone the other day, and he was saying, you know, I really like having people in the office because we collaborate and there's creativity. And if there's a question, I just go down and ask them. It's not this, oh, I got to schedule a Zoom call or I got to pick up the phone, the way that it's always been. And it's just the habit that they have. But what he found was he wasn't finding good people. He was finding, you know, it just wasn't happening. And it wasn't that he wasn't finding good people. It wasn't, he was just not finding people that fit in the way that he does business. Like, you know, everyone wants to be remote. Everyone wants to be remote. So I may as well hire remote. Well, do you think he hired close to where he lived? No, he was looking all over the world for the best that he could find globally. So if I'm going to hire remote, I may as well hire remote. So remote may kick some people right in the butt.
Well, the positive side is, one, just like you said, you can hire great people no matter where they live, worldwide. That's an opportunity, as many challenges are. And the other thing, I think the technology is going to start to catch up with this, so that those missed opportunities of collaboration, the chance meeting in the water cooler, are going to be much easier in a remote kind of environment. I was a speaker where they created a campus, and each of us had avatars. It was fascinating.
We could walk.
Yeah, it was. We could walk the campus, and as we came up to someone, a little bubble would come up with their name and description. You could talk to them. You could transform yourself into any meeting room you wanted to. And I was like, oh, this is just way too much fun. And it's fiercely expensive. But I think you're going to see that managers get smarter in how to create these opportunities, whether it's remote or in person. And then you're going to see, I think, the technology get better and better and better as we go forward. Because I keep telling people, we're not going back the way it was. That's not going to happen. It just isn't. So there's going to be, and you may not go totally remote, but there's this flexibility. So I've seen a lot of companies with core days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, more flexibility, Monday, Friday, core hours, 1 week every quarter is no meetings week. So if you're working remote, you can get a breather and take some time away, or you can deep dive on a particular project without being interrupted. Leaders and technology are going to catch up. In the meantime, you know, how much damage is done to your brand until you figure this out? And because it's so transparent now, you make or break a reputation pretty quick.
Yes, you totally do. And Glassdoor, you know, makes that quite apparent. You know,
all that. Yep, very much so.
Because the thing is I was reading some reviews on a company, and the reviews that I was seeing was like, well, they were bad reviews, but I was reading them going, actually, I like that. I would fit in there. So the bad reviews weren't really bad reviews, because they were just telling me that this company is highly productive, has deadlines, and holds people accountable.
People worry about, you know, a terminated employee getting on there and saying how terrible it was. But just like you said, there's a point where you look at it and you go, looks like they were just holding people accountable. I love working for a boss that knows the difference between good and bad. Terminating, separating with people that are not well matched is a reward to A players. When I push leaders at all levels, they say, well, it's hard to find good people. I better to keep the toxic I know. I said, yeah, but there's going to come a point where Shannon finally says, I'm not working here anymore. Mm-hmm. And so A players start to leave, saying, if you're going to put up with this, I'm leaving. I mean, how many times have leaders angst about that separation? And then afterwards, employees came up and said, what took you so long? That's a leadership issue. So yeah, there are sometimes I'm like you, I look at some of those reviews and go, oh, I get it. Oh, I know someone that would be perfect in that job.
Well, I used to work for an online review site. I had 300 clients. I was responsible for 300 accounts. Oof. And it was a remote job. Perfect for me. Like, I finally found a job, single mom, two kids, remote job. Perfect. Right. But I would get calls all the time. Shannon, I got this bad review. It's not real. Or Shannon, I think I'm going to get a bad review. We've done everything we can to make her happy, but she's still threatening a bad review if we don't cut her fee by da 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 da. And we don't want to do that. What do we do? And, you know, I kept saying, you know what, these things are not bad. You getting a bad review is not a bad thing. Two things. One, people generally can tell if it's just someone being a total pain in the butt. Yep. Two, don't let them hold you hostage, because that's a lot of it. Like, give us this or we're going to get you a bad review. So they were being felt like they were being held hostage. I said, don't say fine, call their bluff, because in the end, you get to respond and you get to respond with your side of the story. You get to respond with good reviews. So back in the day, what it was you piss off a client, they go and tell a bunch of people. You wouldn't know it. Now you piss off a client, they write a bad review. Well, that's fine. You respond. Plus you bring 10 of your happy clients to bury that review in good reviews.
Yes. We've become much more.
Why are you not collecting reviews?
Yes, I know. We've become much more sophisticated, just as you said about separating, you know, in the reviews. I don't like this product because it didn't, you know, clean the tub. It's a vacuum cleaner. It was never supposed to clean the tub. You're crazy person.
Well, those bad reviews it also ensures that clients that don't match your company don't become clients.
That's right.
Good thing.
That's right. And we've all had customers that needed to be fired. We've all had employees that needed to be fired. It's not about best qualified. It's about best matched for the job. So there's the performance piece, the behavior piece. Is it best matched for the job? And I agree with you that transparency sends a message. This is who we are. And if you don't buy in, then don't apply or don't be part of it. Don't stay. But for those of you that appreciate, you know, this culture, these behaviors. Oh, this is a great place to work. It's a good match. Come talk to us.
Well, there's also other options nowadays. So if you are an employer and you like, oh, I can't find good employees, go out to these networking meetings of small businesses. Because guess what? There's a lot of small businesses out there that are struggling, that would like to have a job, but they've given up on the process. Then you go there, you meet them, you find the ones that you like, and you talk to them about how you can work with them. Because guess what? Maybe a contract is a better way to go.
Yeah, there's so many options, but you've got to be open to that. It's different than the way it was. The idea that, you know, I can just count on one stream of applicants on a constant basis is pretty much gone of making bosses better.
Well, I think that you're on a mission that definitely needs to be there. Anyone that has a boss that they're not happy with, go check out Hunter's stuff. Maybe, just maybe, you can convince your boss to hire Hunter for some help, okay?
Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Listener, I hope that you enjoyed today's episode and that you were able to garner some really great ideas from Hunter about how to attract top talent to your business. If you have stories about the interview process or hiring talent, I would love for you to share them within the Market Appeal community. So drop into marketappeal.com, click on that community button, and share your experiences with either looking for work or hiring. Don't forget, Market Appeal membership is free and includes various resources to help you tell your brand story to create an appealing life, career, or business. Until next time, peel out.